Lord, I just want to thank you so much for this amazing grace. And Father God, how it did save wretches like me. So grateful, Lord, for this grace. This grace that just doesn't stop. It just never ever stops. This great influence in our lives. The divine influence that instructs us how to live. How to take care of life and how to live it right. We thank you for this amazing grace. We thank you, Lord, that we're no longer wretches, but we're the saved. That we're no longer the sinner, but we're the saint in Christ Jesus. And Father, that you've made this transaction at the cross 2,000 years ago. You paid for our sin. You were buried. You were raised on the third day. Father, giving life to every single person who call upon your name. That life's found in the Spirit. And Father, I just ask, Lord, that as we open the Word this morning, that Father, that as we study it, as we look at it, as we hear, as we listen, as we consider, that Father, that we would come to the end of this time together knowing that we have heard from you, that we have met with you, and that we're moving onward, Father, to the kingdom, onward with the kingdom towards your likeness. And I pray these things, Lord, believing, because I believe in the power of your Word. Come, Lord, visit us in this time of word, of preaching, of teaching. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. If you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. We've been talking about life. We've been talking about the Holy Spirit who gives life. This all began Easter Sunday this year, this whole series, on the words, the resurrection words of Christ. And we saw many weeks ago and have been seeing in subsequent weeks that when Jesus meets with his disciples in the upper room, the scripture says he gives them three things. He gives them his peace. He says, peace be with you. He gives them purpose. He says, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. And then he says this. When he says this, the scripture says, and then he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. We said a couple of weeks ago when we were speaking of this that this word receive is a command. It's a command from God. It's an imperative. It's something that you do, that you're a part of the transaction, that you are a part of welcoming the Spirit in your life by receiving the gift of the Spirit of God. And when you receive the Spirit of God, you get life because that's what the scripture says. The Spirit gives life. The flesh profits nothing. It profits nothing. And the words I'm speaking to you are both spirit and their life. You can't speak about the life of God or life in Christ or the Christian life without speaking of the Spirit. And you can't speak of the Spirit unless you're speaking of life. Because that's what he does. Infusing, giving, constantly giving and speaking into your life and mine the life of God. And this life is meaningful. It's abundant. Jesus said, the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. I come that you might have life and that you might have it abundantly. And then he says it's a fruitful life. It's not some life where you just accept Jesus and then you keep getting your head beat in the rest of your life. That's not good news. That's not the gospel. It's a fruitful life. If he gives you the Spirit of God, and you walk by the Spirit, then you're going to have a fruitful life. And a fruitful life is an influential life. It's divinely influential. And so we've been speaking over the last several weeks on this topic of this life, this influential life that he gives you. And so in Matthew chapter 5, he says something. Jesus is teaching in the Sermon on the Mount. He says something so significant. He tells you and me who we are. When the Spirit comes into your life, there's this definition, this defining moment of this is who you were and you're no longer that, but this is who you are now. And this is what he says, you're the salt of the earth. We spent a whole 40 minutes last week talking about salt of the earth, what that means. It's influential. That's what salt is. And it's interesting, when you put salt on something, it disappears, doesn't it? But it has its effect. I mean, you don't see it, but it's having its effect. You're the salt of the earth. And then he says something in verse 14, you are the light of the world.
A city set on a hill, it cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket. They put the light on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. And then he says, verse 16, let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. We spoke last week just real briefly about the Romans, who believed that the two greatest things in life were light, or the sun, and salt. And I don't think it's a coincidence that Jesus would come to a society and mark what's the most important thing in life that they see in the sustaining of life and in the flavoring life and the comfort of life, something so valuable that he would look at his disciples and he would look at you and me coming forth from those disciples ages later that says, you have great value. Light is valuable. Salt is valuable. That's what I'm saying to you. You have value. You have great value in this life. Matter of fact, you are the only hope for a rotten world. That's why I've called you salt. And you're the only hope for a dark world. That's why I'm calling you light. It's not you are, some of you are light, some of you are salt. No, you come to Christ, the Spirit gives this life. It's meaningful, it's fruitful, it's influential, it's divinely influential, and it's so influential, he says, listen, you're the only hope. Church is the only hope. Can you imagine that? That God would take a bunch of folks like us and say, Cottonwood, you're a part of the bigger church, and you're the only hope for the world. We said something last week that I think is really important. When he's talking about salt, there's something that's very insinuating about it. It means that if he says you're the salt of the earth, it means that the salt, the earth is rotting, and the earth needs some healing, and the earth needs life. And you, and only you, it's in the emphatic, are the salt of the earth. You and only you are the light of the world. Which really says another insinuating thing, another foundational thing is that it means that the world is dark. It's dark. And that's really the first thing that you can think of when he says you're the light of the world. The world is dark. Now, let me tell you something about darkness. In this life, darkness is relative. Isn't that right? It's relative. I mean, it'll get dark tonight, but you'll be able to see. Why? Because there's still some light shining in the sky. Or there's lights in the distance. It's never completely dark and black unless you're closed up in a room where there's no light shining. I remember as a little boy going to Ruby Falls in Chattanooga, Tennessee. And you get the tour, you go into these falls, these caves, it's the falls and caves, and all of a sudden they turn out the light. And I'm going to tell you, there is no light there. It is dark, it is black. Your eyes don't ever get adjusted to the dark because there's nothing to adjust it to. It is dark, and they tell me that when the lights went out and it stayed on a little bit, I started crying out, Mama! Mama! Scary place for a four-year-old. When the lights go out and your eyes can't adjust. And I'm going to tell you, that's what the world is. He says it's dark. There's no light at all. It's a dark place. And you are the light. You and only you are the light. You are the only one that can bring a light to this dark place. And this darkness, when it's black, there's no light. There's no shifting in it. Your eyes don't get adjusted to it. In darkness, it keeps you from seeing. It'll cause you to miss the mark. It'll cause you to go astray, cause you to stumble. It's used of a wicked and sinful world. It's used in Scripture. He talks about children of light and children of darkness, or living in the darkness, or walking in the darkness, or people being full of darkness. Darkness means ignorance and error. It means anything that's hateful. It's the course of sin. It's those heavy afflictions. It's the power of Satan. It's the state where light is deprived. And it's every one of us. When he said, I was blind, but now I see, it means that he saw nothing but darkness. Therefore, he saw nothing. saw nothing. That's why I think, when I think about the world, and while I'm talking about this, go to 1 John chapter 2 for just a moment. 1 John chapter 2. And notice what he says about the world, this dark world. When I think about darkness and people living in darkness without Jesus, the last thing that you and I as believers need to do is get critical and judgmental of those who can't even see. But we want to default to that, don't we? We want to default to a critical spirit. We want to default to judgment. We want to default to the thought that, man, I'm better than this, I'm better than them, we're better than that, we've got a life that's better than them. How could we ever influence a dark world with that kind of attitude? Think about that for a moment. How could we ever influence somebody in the darkness with such a critical spirit about where they are in life? They don't have Christ. They don't have the light of the gospel. They don't have the Spirit of God that gives life. Matter of fact, they're just living in the flesh that profits nothing. Don't you remember when you were in the darkness? Don't you remember those dark, dark times in your life? Because of poor decisions and sinful ways? The last thing you needed was someone to be critical of you and point the finger at you and thump you on the head. You needed somebody who would be light to you to say, this is the way, walk in it. I'm asking us as a church, as your pastor, to refrain from the negative, critical spirit toward a dark place. The Bible says right here in 1 John chapter 2, which is really a description of the world, and if you think in terms of what we're talking about, a dark world, he says this, verse 15, do not love the world, nor the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Wow. For all that is in the world, now notice what he says, it's the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the boastful pride of life. That's not from the Father, it's from the world. And this world, which is dark, is passing away, and also its lusts. But the one who does the will of God lives forever. The word is very clear about what the world is. It's dark. It's full of lust, it's full of pride, it's full of arrogance, it's full of greed. And until their eyes are open to see the light that would illumine them, they will continue to walk in darkness. And that's why we pray. That's why we don't get critical. That's why we speak words of life, not words of death. That's why we bless. That's why we don't curse. Because you have the power to influence. Because you're the light of the world. A number of years ago, we had a hunger relief effort down in the Copper Canyon of Mexico in Chihuahua amongst the Tarahumara. Many of you went on that trip. It was a six-month project. There had been a drought in the land, and then there had been a famine, and then people started dying. They were hungry, and our mission organization gave this church right here $50,000 to buy beans enough to feed 1,000 families. And so the Fries went down. We had a house down there. We still have that house. Went down, opened that house, and started receiving Cottonwood folks. 4, 5, 6, 8 at a time came down and delivered beans to starving people. And I'll never forget the time that I went. I've been more than once. It wasn't the same trip. But I walked with this missionary for 3 days, spent 2 nights in the canyon, walking from village to village. And I want to tell you this. It's the darkest place that I've ever been in my life. Dark, oppressive,
a community and a nation of people who depend on a God that is finite, a Tarumaran God, who is Tarumaran. He is finite, and the only way to keep him alive is to feed him by sacrifices, corn and corn beer. It's a society that is a drunken society. It is a society that is just dark, oppressive. And I'll never forget coming out of the beautiful place. One afternoon we're in the pines, the next in lemon and orange trees, and the next in papaya. But I'll never forget. And Shelley, you were on that trip. And Rebecca Trimble. And just coming out of that, seeing those our people, just thinking, oh God, thank you for the light. This is oppressive. This is depressing. This is poverty. This is folks with witch doctors, a state away, right over the river. Witch doctors who speak curses, who speak not blessing. And it's dark. And yet the scripture would say that when I was walking, when you were walking those trails, when you were carrying beans, when you were doing the good works of God, that you were the light of that dark place. Remember that. Remember it tomorrow morning when you go to a place that's dark, a place that's hard, a place that's difficult in your life right now. To remember that you are the salt of the earth and you are the light of the world. It's dark. If he says you're the light of the world, it means because the world's dark and you're the only hope for light. And I praise God for a church that would go to a place that's like this to shine the light. Let me say this. I just said it a moment ago. I'll say this secondly, that the statement is written in an emphatic tense in the original language, and therefore it means in the Greek language, you and only you are the light of the world. He says that a city set on a hill can never, ever be hidden. It can't be hidden. And you're looking at days where there was no electricity, right? No electricity. So you didn't have street lights, street lamps. But when you were in darkness, you could see the city set on a hill. Third, I want you to think about this, that you, the light of the world, are simply a reflection of Jesus, who is the light of the world. Your light just points to Christ. It points to the best. It points to his life. John chapter 1 verse 4 says, in him was life. The life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness. Now watch this. And the darkness never ever overcomes it because it can never be extinguished. The light can never ever, the darkness can never ever extinguish the light. It can never ever do that. I mean, listen, you go in this place with no lights on, it's dark, turn on the switch and the electricity's working and the bulbs are right. Light. As long as this light's on, the darkness will never, ever overcome it. And that ought to give us such a great hope today. Especially when he says, you're the light of the world. Jesus said in Romans, in John chapter 8, verse 12, he spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. If you'll follow me, you will never, ever walk in darkness, but you will have the light of the world, or light of life. I want you to turn to Isaiah chapter 9. You get a good illustration of Jesus the light. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 1. And I want you to notice what he says about Jesus. Yeah, and Isaiah, speaking of the life of light of Christ. Chapter 9, verse 1. There will be no more gloom for her who was in anguish. In earlier times, he treated the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali with contempt. But later on, he shall make it glorious by the way of the sea, on the other side of Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. Watch this. And the people who walk in darkness will see a great light. And those who live in a dark land, the light will shine on them. And you shall multiply the nation. You shall increase their gladness. They'll be glad in your presence and with the gladness of heart, as with the gladness of harvest, as when men rejoice when they divide the spoil. Because you're going to break the yoke of their burden and the staff of their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. And every boot of the warrior in battle is going to, and every cloak is going to be rolled in blood. It'll be for burning, fuel for the fire. Because a child will be born unto us. A son will be given. And the government will rest on his shoulders. His name will be Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. And there will be no end to the increase of his government or peace, or on the throne of David, or over his kingdom, to establish and to hold, uphold it in justice and righteousness. I want you to notice something about this. When the light comes and makes its residence in darkness, the darkness goes away. It goes away. Watch this. No more gloom. No more anguish. No more contempt. Just making your life glorious. That's the light. I want to ask the question, should we not expect great things from this great God who says, really, because of who we are in Christ, how great he is in our lives? Should we not expect that? Church, should we not expect that? No more gloom, no more anguish, no more contempt. Just a glorious way, a glorious life. Where there's freedom, where there's peace, increase of peace, absolute freedom. A great counselor, God, serving a mighty God. Sons and daughters of a great father ruled by the Prince of Peace. This is the life. This is the life he comes when he comes to shine in your life. And when you decide to let your light shine in your community and in your world. Watch this. To make a difference. To make a difference in people's lives. Influential. And I want to say this, I believe with all my heart, you are influential people. And really, I think everybody in this world is influential. They are either influencing someone for the bad, or they're influencing someone for the good. So the scripture says, listen, this is the life. This is the life I give. It's been given by the Spirit, and Jesus, the Spirit comes in, and the Bible says he's a life-giving Spirit. It's the life that you and I are to live. So what does he say? He says, since you're the light of the world, then let your light so shine that men may, watch this, I'm saying watch this a lot today. Please forgive me for that, okay? But watch this, okay? Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Good works. Good works. I mean, that's what Jesus says. Jesus says the way you light your light, the way that you let your light shine is that you do good. You do good things. You do good things in this life. You do good things for your people. You do good things for people in your life, people that are maybe not in your life, that you have opportunity to do something good for somebody. Good works. I don't think we hear the words good works enough because we're so scared that we're going to think that we're talking about salvation. No, we're talking about lights of the world. And the Bible is very clear. This is how you let your light shine. You do good things for people. You do good things for good people. You do good things for bad people. You do good. Bible says, listen, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. Do something good for him. If your enemy's thirsty, give him something to drink. It'll heap coals on his head. In other words, it'll do something to influence his heart. We're to do good. Matter of fact, that's how Jesus is described. He's described as someone who went around doing good and healing people and healing those demonized and healing those sick. And that's how Jesus was described. God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, and he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Let your light so shine before men so they may see your good works and then give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Listen, light is a good work. Let me tell you something about light. Light brings everything to sight. That's just the bottom line. It brings everything to sight. And you know what else? In Scripture, it exposes sin. It exposes good works. Light accentuates.
In other words, Rod and Candy came to my office a couple weeks ago and put in some lightings because I have paintings. And they don't, when they put those lights on it, it gets the wow factor. Accentuates. Can you imagine that you believed so much that you were the light of the world and that you were someone's answer who was in the dark this week, that you shined on them and somehow something went wow because you shined on them? Light accentuates. Light brings stuff to life. Light brings the wow factor. Light heals. Just ask the person who had laser eye surgery. Folks are looking at light in such a different way now. They believe that it'll be used in space travel for folks to one day just ride the wave of light. I don't understand it. Light warms. It gives off heat. Light gives you the ability to see so you don't stumble. You get to see the colors of this world. This light produces food and plants, food for you and me to eat on and to be healthy. Light even sterilizes, it cleanses. Light has great influence. And folks, that's who you are today. Great influence, light that shines. I was thinking about the good works, and I couldn't help but think about Matthew 25. And you don't have to turn there, but Matthew 25 speaks of one of the great judgments, okay? And it's where he puts the goats on the left and the sheep on the right, and he says to those who are getting ready to go to hell, I was hungry, and you didn't give me anything to eat. I was thirsty. You gave me nothing to drink. I was naked. You didn't clothe me. I was sick. You didn't come visit me. I was in prison. You didn't come to me. When did we see you, all these things, and not do that? When you didn't do it to the least of these, my brothers. Then he'll say to those on his right, enter in to the joy of your Father, because I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger. You invited me in your home. I was naked. You gave me clothing. I was sick. You cared for me. I was in prison and you came to me. When you did it to the least of these, you did it to me. Year and a half ago, we started a water project here. 1,000 water filters in 1,000 homes in Southeast Asia, Southwest China. It's a project that we were working in our church with kids across cultures. 1,000 water pots in 1,000 homes so that 1,000 people could have clean water. Can you imagine getting up every day and you have 4 or 5 kids, and every day this is your life and your kids' lives? Excuse me for saying it, but just I'm going to say it. Diarrhea. Every day. Can you imagine? That comes from dirty water. You know that when a child or a person begins to drink clean water, do you know how long it takes for the healing process to start? Immediately. The minute they stop drinking dirty water is the beginning of their healing process. And so our goal, Kids Cross Culture's goal, was to put 1,000 of these water pots in 1,000 homes and to be able to share Christ with each of those families. This month, 1,300. Yeah, 1,300. Now listen. Yeah, go on and get this going. I'm sorry. 1,300. Now, I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. And by the way, I was sick because of the dirty water, and I got healed up because you came. Or you gave. And this project has been wonderful. It's been wonderful, and everybody's been on board for it. And, you know, I think about our children who participated in that. I think about Alyssa. Is Alyssa here? Where are you, Alyssa? Yeah, Alyssa. Yeah, there you are, back in the back. Yeah, she heard about the project, the kids on the square, and she ran and got a friend, and they baked some goods and did a bake sale in Comanche, and then one in Dillion, or Dillion and Comanche, and raised enough to buy five water pots for five families who heard the gospel for the first time. I think about Lacey Moser, who was saving up for an iPad and took the money that she was saving up for the iPad and bought water filters for several families in Southwest China. And I understand her parents matched it, and I hope they bought her the iPad. Think of Tabitha and the things that she did. Your kids doing something good, letting their light shine. About 4,500 to 5,000 people heard the gospel this year because of this project. And I think, the light of the world. You are the light of the world. You're the light of the world. And so you do good things for people. You do good things. You go from this place and say, what good can I do today? How can I bring somebody up? How can I help somebody get to another place they need to be? How can I do that? How can we do that? And you know, it's not that you have to go and write a 4-week plan for it. Just be available. Just to say, God, I'm available to let my light shine. Don't let me lose the opportunity to speak life into somebody, because that's how you do your light. You speak into somebody's life. You speak the positive things of God's word. You bless, you don't curse. You encourage, you don't discourage. You speak softly, not harshly. Speaking with your word and speaking with your life and speaking with who you are in this life is letting your light shine. That light just went off. So feeding the hungry, giving a drink to the thirsty, inviting strangers into your home, clothing folks, caring for the sick, visiting the prisoner. It's giving your time. It's being nice, even when you don't feel like being nice. It's being kind. It's doing acts of kindness. And it's just obeying the initial promptings of the Holy Spirit to do good and not bad, to respond well and not evil, to love people well, to stand up for the weak, the marginalized. It's giving to people. It's loving your neighbor as yourself. And it's loving this new commandment he gave to us, to love one another as Christ has loved us. And there's two things that are very essential about good works. The first is love. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians, if you speak with the tongues of men and of angels and do not have love, you become a noisy gong or clanging cymbal. In other words, if you speak and you speak well and you've got it all right and you're speaking but you don't have love, you're nothing but a wah, 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 wah. I'm nothing but that. And nobody hears. And if I have a prophecy and I know mysteries and all knowledge and if I have all faith so as to move mountains but do not have love, I'm nothing. And if I do this great work, if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, I mean, you just did a thousand water pots. I just gave all my possessions to feed the poor. If I surrender my body to be burned but do not have love, it profits me nothing. So the essential of the good work of the Holy Spirit that comes to come forth from your life has to be the foundation of love. Love is patient. Love is kind, right? Love is gentle. It's not provoked. I don't know about you, but when I'm provoked, the last thing I want to do is do something good for that person who just provoked me. Matter what, matter of fact, I've got some choice words that I'd like to say. It's not provoked. Doesn't take into account a wrong suffered. It rejoices with the truth. It rejoices with life. So there's an essential. When he says to let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works, those good works must be out of the love of God and the love of Christ. And the second thing, very important, you got to do it without grumbling. I can't believe I got to get up and do this for this people. I'm just so inconvenienced right now.
And I'm huffing and puffing until I go to the door and go, hey, I'm here. You've been there, haven't you? We do it without grumbling. And notice on the screen, Philippians 2:14, do all things without grumbling or disputing, so that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent children of God, above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, watch, among whom you appear as lights in the world. So I'm loving God, I'm loving my neighbor, and I'm allowing this love of God to produce this work, this ethic in my life that brings joy and life to people. Shining the light of Jesus on them. And I want to make sure that I'm not grumbling and disputing while I'm on the way. I've seen that in churches. Churches do a lot of good things, and yet on a Wednesday night at a business meeting or something else, there's a whole lot of junk going on between people. But we're doing good things for people. You're not loving. If you're grumbling and complaining, please, please remember who you are. You're the light of the world. You're the light of the world to bring that healing, to bring that joy, to bring that cleansing, to bring that good work, to bring that good word, to bring that life. That's who you are. Now, I want to close with this. Life does three things in the Christian life. Number one, your good works will expose sin and wrong works. It just does. The Bible says those who are evil and don't want anything to do with the light, they don't want to come to light because they know the light will expose them. Okay? Let me tell you this, how this happened. I love it when I meet new people and they don't know I'm a pastor. Okay. Now, I guess I got a little bit of a more, you know, I don't know, they get to see this probably more than you do. But I'm just telling you, one time I sat down with a friend, and his brother was there. And I sat down, and this guy started, I mean, cussing up a storm. And my friend said, hey, you better watch out, he's pastor. You better watch out what you're saying. And I'm going to tell you this, it stopped on the dime. It's almost like he went from cussing to praising Jesus. That's the truth. And you know what? This is what they do. This is what most of you do. Do you know such and such pastor from such and such where I go to church? You know, I mean, it's just a whole different thing. And what happens is that it just kind of exposes where they are. And I just saw it. I saw a behavior change right there in my presence. It changed. Now, some of you will be persecuted for it. But I want to tell you, you be consistent in your life and your light in your speaking will make a difference in people's lives. You know, the reason why Christians get persecuted is because their light exposes evil people's deeds. And that's just a part of it. So the first thing, your good works are going to expose sin and wrongdoing. Second, your good works are always going to point to Christ. Okay? That's why we love good works. Okay? We love good works. And we're not saved by them. But these are just a part of the Christian life of having influence in people's lives. And so it's going to always point to the way of Christ. And it's always going to point to the right decision at the right time for the right reason. Okay. And the third thing your good works are going to do, it's always going to glorify the Father in heaven. Why? Because that's what Jesus did. And that's what God's been doing ever since he created the world. He's been doing good, not evil, to his people. That's who you are. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Go, let your light shine. Let men see your good works so that the Father God is glorified. Amen. Amen. All right, let's stand together, okay? Hey, guess what? We got fellowship right now. So Baylor, you and your family, can you go on out, okay? Levi, can you and your family go on out, just out into the foyer? And then the Means... And Nathan, where are you? Can you go? Hey, you're not all of you dismissed yet, okay? All right, I got to bless you. But y'all go on into the foyer and wait for us. Just a brief time of fellowship, a little food before your meal today, and a little time just to fellowship. Hang around. If you're new to us, we'd love for you to stick around. I'd love to get to know you today. God bless you guys, okay? The Lord bless you, keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you. And when he makes his face shine upon you, may your light burn brighter and brighter this week to give the light of Jesus to those who need to be salt in a decaying world and light in a dark world. May your good works shine. May they be founded in love. And don't grumble and complain this week. Okay. So may his countenance shine upon you. And may the Lord give you peace this week and forever. Amen and amen. All right.